Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
All right. Sorry.
We haven't even started yet. Hey, good morning, and welcome to Happy Hour with John Spilbor and Carol Pesci. And Jonna's got a face on. I don't know why she does.
Frankenberry's sick, and I'm trying not to inhale.
That's right.
I'm going to exhale for the whole show.
Carol's already
got... My hands are in the air. I'm not touching anything.
She's already got the giggles and...
We're so terrible because we should be like, oh, poor Frankenberry, can we get you some soupy whoopy? Oh, and we're like, don't breathe on that.
I hope you feel better. We're like,
not
don't
touching
talk
anything.
To me.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, the only empathy I got was, why the hell are you here sick? You know, they both sounded like old women.
You know, it's a good
why
question.
Are you here sick?
Why are you
sick? Oh, she's going to bring up Marissa Tomei again.
Wait, let me do a different line because I always do my, it's called disclosure, yeah, and then I can't say the whole thing on the radio.
Well, no, you can call me sickhead.
Oh!
It's called disclosure, you sickhead. My biological clock is ticking like this.
Such a great movie.
Yeah. So you're sick, so you're going to stay over there.
I'm staying over here, I promise.
I have, and maybe before we go to break, I have Curly Pesky's belated birthday gift, as I announced last week, because they hadn't arrived on time, but now they have.
I'm excited. And we were having this whole discussion about wrapping last show, I believe. And you brought it in what wrapping paper that looks just like that that white plastic bag that Amazon ships stuff in. The paper
similar.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. Like
but plus...
Oh, you added a little tape to it.
This is moving tape. It's like packaging tape. Right there. You might need a scissors to open it. But I guess before we talk about fun stuff, let's talk about other stuff.
Oh, okay. Not
oh, so we're
going to
stay away from fun?
We're going to stay away from fun.
All right. No fun today. Keep that in mind there, peoples.
Yeah, you can have your elf poop. They did taste like elf poop, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
They're breath mints, by the way, for those that can't see the elf poop at home.
Yeah, now you can hear the elf poop.
Frankenberry and I tried them before Jonna got here. We both looked at each other like, they're stale. Let's spit them out. And Jonna walks in and is like, are those mints? We're like, yeah. Have some.
Yeah, go
right
ahead.
I emptied the tin in my pie hole, and they're like, hee, hee, hee. But I ate it. Okay.
This is the not fun portion?
This is the not fun portion. I have so many things to talk about between this whole show, but I think I have another $1 million idea.
Okay. All right, Penn. There we go. Go ahead.
Oh. All right. So tell me if you guys are having this you won't have this problem because you do not have an Apple product. You have an Apple product.
I have an Apple product or two.
You have Siri. And
which I never use.
Well, when you're in the car, though, don't you? When you're texting in the car, doesn't it go through Siri?
When you're texting in the car.
When you're texting while driving, doesn't it go through Siri?
I don't. I just don't do it. My phone is almost always on silent, and I wait.
Really?
I use the Google lady on occasion. Like, if my phone is on, I just have to, if I hit one button, it brings up Google, and then I can just speak out loud, text Jonna Spilbor.
That's what I do, except with the Siri. You do it with the Google lady.
So with the Google lady,
well,
yeah.
So then you're pretty much doing it, oh no, is it the Google lady Alexa? Not really.
No, she's just a Google lady.
Just Google lady. All right.
So you're mad at Siri, clearly.
All right, so I'm very mad at Siri. And here's why, but legit. Lately, like, I don't know, the last couple of weeks, I used to be able to, when I would text in the car, and I'm in the car a lot, which means I text in the car a lot, but I do it hands-free.
Voice text.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say, text Carol. Well, I have to pronounce your name. Text Carol Pesce, or else it doesn't know who you are. So I've learned these little tricks over the years. So, and I'll do that, and then it'll say, like, bloop, bloop, what do you want to say? And then I say it, and then it's like, and then it repeats it back to me, and then it sends it off to you. That's how it goes.
Mine does the same.
Okay. So the last couple of weeks or so, I would go, text Carol Pesce. Peche. And then I set my Siri to an Australian male voice, not the regular Siri voice.
Nice.
Yeah, it just breaks things up a little bit. And so my Australian male voice will go, instead of saying, "What would you like to say?" He'll go, "Just a tick." And then it'll wait and be like, I'm still working on that, in his little Australian accent. And then, like, he'll say a couple other things, and I'll get frustrated, and I'll bang the dashboard again and be like, "Text Carol Pishing." And then he comes up with his accent, and he keeps giving me all these excuses why he can't text you, and then he won't text you. So I'm getting very frustrated. So here's my million-dollar idea. Before I die, or anybody in my position dies...
In your what position?
Like anybody who's having the same problem.
Oh, okay.
You need to subpoena the Siri records and at my funeral play back the last 2 weeks of my life trying to text people from the car. Because I end up having a full-blown, profanity-laden conversation with the Australian male voice who proclaims himself to be Siri, who cannot help me send a text. Like, so much so, like, if you're in the car next to me, and I'm trying to text you, and it's happening, you're gonna, like, see me from the side just mouthing all of these swear words, very frustrated, and banging on my steering wheel. It's that... I might have class action lawsuit for intentional infliction of emotional distress.
I think we need a car cam in your car full time. That's what I think we need. Because it's not just the translation of these text messages. It's the whole animated, you get, what did she really say? What came through? How did she respond?
Because I think what's happening now is that I think Siri detects the profanity and will
believe that.
No, but seriously, and then he will stop. He'll be like, "You know what? Not doing this now. I am not doing this now." And then he'll like put me in a timeout because then I can't do anything.
But it's exactly what's happening.
But it should say to you, if that's what's going on, it should be like, "Calm down. We will be back. I'll be back in 5 minutes." So that I don't keep banging on the button in the center console going, "Text Carol Pesce! Text Carol Pesce!"
Now, you know what will be funny? Is if after he gives you, after your Australian dude gives you a timeout, mm-hmm. he goes into his own little Siri virtual world, grabs a cup of coffee with some of his other Siri buddies and gals, and then they sit down.
I got a live one.
Yeah, exactly. And they talk over coffee in their break room about these weird humans that get so frustrated, and for some of them, they probably do it on purpose. You know, so there's like, you know, Siri Michelle, because her Michelle gets easily frustrated. She's just sitting back in the break room giggling.
You guys.
Oh, you should have heard what how I got her this morning. Oh,
that'd be
so
a great
Siri
Broadway show.
Siri is an Apple.
Yes. Product. Construct.
Product. Thing. Whatever it is.
Employee.
Would this not be an amazing holiday time commercial, that whole scenario that you just played out for real?
Where the Siri...
No, but they're not going to advertise it. People are getting mad at Siri, so that wouldn't work.
Well, yeah, true. Although...
You could turn it around and make it all happy and joyful and crap.
And that the fake Siri people behind the scenes, robotish, hanging out.
Or do it so that, you know how, like, it's common knowledge that when you talk to Siri, sometimes she's going to get it wrong and the text comes out funnier than what you intended. Like, they could... make fun of themselves and...
Oh, and that has happened to you.
Oh, word. Word. When Siri used to work the way she's supposed to work. So this is just really frustrating. So now it's even worse because, like, you have this capability so that you're not texting and driving and using your hands. So instead, I went to my... So now I'm yelling at my Australian male Siri. I can't get through to anybody. So now I'm taking my hands off the wheel and pressing Apple Watch button. And now I'm, like, yelling into my wrist, steering with the other hand, going bonkers berserko on the way here. It was awful.
And who were you trying to text on the way here?
Carol Pesce.
Pesce, what were you trying to text me?
I forget now. It probably wasn't even that important.
Well, you know what my phone did to me once? Now, Celie, my landlady, in my phone.
And your friend,
yes,
by the way.
And my friend, my very good friend. She just happens to be my landlady. But her name in my phone is Celie Apt.
Apt?
Apartment.
Oh.
Just the abbreviation for apartment.
Oh.
So I have said to my phone,
text Celie.
I've said to Google Lady, text Celie Apartment. And it'll say, text Celie Apt. And I'll say, okay, text Celie Apt. Okay, texting Celie Apartment.
Oh.
And it's almost
really?
Weird. Yes, but yeah, I get equally frustrated because all I'll want to do is, you know, just real quick, hey, send Randy, my boss, a quick text, on my way. And then you just hear that, you know, you get the beep.
Oh, yeah.
And you're waiting, and you just wait.
And you're like,
and
yeah, what is it? Did he get it? Did he not get it?
Did you send it? Usually you say, message sent. And I say, thank you, Google Lady, and then we're all done with our transaction.
Here's my other favorite. I have a friend who works for another radio station who I occasionally have to text, and his name is Boris. And I'll say in the car, text Boris. And then my Australian male friend will come back and go, Lori Morris? And I'll go, no. No. Boris. Boris. Oh, which one? Andrew Boris, Boris, or Boris Boris? And I'll be like, just Boris. Calling Lori Morris. Happens a lot. I shouldn't make fun of Apple because I do own stock in the company. Okay. Before we have to go to a break, though, I think it would be a good time because I've been sitting on these. They showed up the day after we recorded our last show. So I've been sitting on them for a week. Excited.
There's multiple things in there.
Well, you'll see.
Okay.
And so I wanted to say once again, happy birthday. Your birthday was actually last week.
Thank you.
You look marvelous.
Thank you.
You are marvelous.
Thank you. Go on.
You don't look... Let's see. If I'm 29, you don't look a day over 30.
I'll take 30.
Okay. All right. So without
pumpkin.
Without further ado, I hope you laugh at these as much as I did when I bought them for you. Okay.
And by the way, the whole 29 thing, I told you, I caught you on that Facebook post. You admitted 35 on that Facebook post.
I must have been drunk.
When you were talking about your grandma.
I must have been drunk.
You were talking about your grandma's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And you admitted 35.
This tape you used is too strong.
I know. I used actual packing tape.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, right, so Carol's opening her... We'll narrate.
Yeah,
this.
Carol's opening her birthday present right now.
Now...
She's pulling out something...
They are...
Look at those clown shoes?
No. Shall we explain?
Oh, yeah. Nobody else can get it unless you're going to explain it.
All right.
Honest to God, you stumble across these
I had to get them for you. All right.
Those are the largest slippers I've ever seen.
What they are eggplant emoji slippers. And the reason why they are eggplant emoji slippers is because Carol was part of the process in helping my mother learn how to text. And for the longest time, my mother would, when she was responding to a text or texting anybody, she would put these random emojis. And she, like, they had no rhyme or reason, but her go-to random emoji was the eggplant emoji, which my mother did not understand has a kind of other meaning in emoji speak that only the kids these days would understand.
You're going to have to explain to me on break because I don't either.
So it's sexual. So it's even funny that she would, you know, be like, are you coming over for lasagna tonight? Eggplant emoji, eggplant emoji.
Chick coming out of the shell.
I didn't get it. So I found these and I had to get them for you because we would always make fun of Nance.
That's awesome. And is your mother getting a pair too?
No, but she was like, oh, I should give them to her. I'm like, too late.
And for those of you out there, by the way, listening, they are the size of clown shoes.
They really are.
I wore something that big when I played Goofy at Disney.
Frankberry, not only did she wrap this in paper that identically resembles an Amazon shipping bag, she actually labeled it also.
Oh, she did.
My name
she
and
did.
B-Day
she wrote Carol B-Day.
The replica wrapping paper. Thank you very much.
Listen, you guys know I have some shortcomings.
They're awesome.
Not many. Rapping is one of them.
They're awesome. And don't you have smiling emoji face
ones? I have smiling emoji. And I got to tell you something. They are comfortable slippers. I know that they look like skis and they're twice the length of your actual feet, but they are comfortable.
They're awesome. And thank you very much.
I think funny. You are very welcome.
All right. So who are we talking to today, by the way?
So here's a Sagu. Those slippers make me happy. And coming up after the break.
You guys kill me.
We're going to be talking to this. He's actually a friend of mine. We go way back. I'll save it for when he comes back on the air. But
oh, wait. Isn't this a lawyer that wrote something about being happy?
He's a lawyer who wrote a book about how to be happy.
Go figure.
Yeah. Mm. But we, you know, since we have our resident happiness expert in here, since it is a happy time of the year, since we are wishing people happy holidays, and since I think it's kind of oxymoronic to have an attorney write a book about happiness.
And we have our resident lawyer to go along with our happiness expert, so it all fits.
It's like we're like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
He's like you and
right
me
now.
Blended.
Yes.
Yes. Not sorry. you opened the door. I love those commercials. Sorry. Go ahead.
I think that's our guest calling me right now. So when we come back from the break, we're going to have author, attorney, and he's also a TV personality kind of like me, Mark Iglarsh, on the phone. He's calling now, but when we come back from the break, we're going to have him on the line.
All right. It's Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci, and we will return with our guests, so stick with us.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And you're listening to Happy Hour here on K104. Happy Sunday morning to you. We've got Jonna Spilborn.
Happy.
Carol Pesci and myself. And it's time now to get to our guest, a good friend of Jonna's and also a fellow lawyer.
Yeah, so I love this because I've actually known our guest is he's pretty much a famous attorney. He's kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Yes. And his name is Mark Iglarsh. You might know him if you've ever turned on the television, unless you live in Carol's big bubble world, then you haven't. But it just so happened that my friend Mark Iglarsh, who is an attorney, has recently written a book that we're going to talk about today. But before I get to that, I just want to let you know, for those who are not familiar, my friend Mark is a top-rated attorney and has been for the last 26 years. And can I tell you, he must lie about his age like I do, because he barely looks 26 years old, and he zealously represents clients charged with state and federal criminal offenses. He's a very good criminal lawyer and also personal injury lawyer, including wrongful death. He is I didn't know you were an adjunct law professor. I did know you were a devoted husband and proud father of three teenagers, because Mark and I have actually auditioned for some, we'll talk about that too, some shows that never came to fruition, but and I did not know you were an avid pickleball player, but we'll talk about that too. Anyway, on the line with us is my good friend, awesome attorney, television personality, and now he's adding to his resume, published author, Mark Iglarsh. Mark, welcome to the show.
What a kind and wonderful introduction that I totally wrote. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, you did. So listen, I just think this is fascinating. And like I said, you and I kind of go way back, because we used to spar with each other on Fox and other television news. And then one or two times we flew across the country to audition for, you know, court shows and judge shows that never made it off the cutting room floor. But that's the nature of the biz.
Right. I only did that because I like to wear makeup.
I do. Me too.
No other reason.
That's my Saturday nights with the right lighting.
I just happened to find out that you wrote this book, and I want to talk to you all about it for a number of reasons. I think it's something else that you are an attorney who is writing about happiness, because a lot of us would think that's weird. Not me, but a lot of
you're grouchy and mean and edgy all the time.
Because being an attorney can do that to you. So I want to know, before you tell us about the book, I want to know how did the book come about?
Okay. So first of all, everyone goes through what I'm about to tell you that I go through, okay? Maybe lawyers have it more because we go and we fight for a living, maybe a little bit more, but I think it applies to everyone. My happiness was contingent upon what happened outside of me. right? Mm-hmm. So if the judge ruled in my favor, I was happy. Mm. If the jury gave me the verdict that I wanted, joyous, happy to be around. If the converse occurred, oh, was I in a bad mood. Or if I got what I wanted, they'd cut me off in traffic, and that son of a bitch, I'd have to surrender leadership of myself for about a mile, you know, only to catch up to him and give him what he needed, right?
Right, right.
I'm flipping the bird right now, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd like to say my children were in the car when I did that, but that's not always the case. And I just realized, okay, there's got to be a better way. I'm tired of my happiness contingent upon everything else that everybody else does around me and the circumstances around me. I want to take control of my happiness, but how the hell do you do that?
Good question.
And then I went on this long journey, and that's, you know, from pain came tremendous growth. And boy, did I experience pain no different than what everyone else goes through. I call that your victim story. Okay, boo-hoo. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which is an excellent point. But so wait, so you started actually going through the motions of self-discovery. Like, why do I do this?
Big time.
How do I stop doing it? And then when you figured that all out and put it in a book?
If there was a seminar that, look, but let me just step back. The pain, which I totally just glossed over, included, like, you know, I have three healthy, wonderful children, but halfway through our first pregnancy, you know, I'm watching the doctor's face, like, and he's in horror, showing us the skull of our baby in this sonogram, and the brain is growing outside of the skull, and he's like, okay, it's called encephalocele. It's a rare neurological tube disorder, affects a fraction of 1% of babies, and your baby, which you're halfway through the pregnancy with, by the way, you know, the belly of your wife that you kiss every night, excited for this kid. Yeah, he's not going to live outside the womb, just so you know that. So we had to terminate our pregnancy, and then I got a puppy for my wife because I said, that'll make her happy. That dog died from a freak accident. I'm laughing, but it was crazy. Like, I was out of control. There was darkness in our house. This is a long time ago. I have a phenomenal relationship with my wife, my best bud, close to 20 years of marriage, but there were some growing opportunities along the way. And so from that darkness, I said, all right, I got to figure out, my life depends upon being happier. I got to do something. So that's where it all started.
You know, I didn't know about that, and I am sorry about that, because no matter how long ago that happened, I'm sure that affects you for your entire life. And one of the things that I learned about you inadvertently was when we were across the country on this audition, and I did not realize that you come from a place of gratitude, and that was very attractive to me, because I like to think that I do too, even though I complain on a daily basis. And Carol here, my co-host, she is also an author on a book about happiness, and so I have an affinity for that. I appreciate that, and I learned that about you, like I said, inadvertently. And you must have been in the middle, because that's a few years ago now. You must have been kind of in the middle of the journey when that was going on.
I'm still on it, honey.
Yeah, that's true.
Even Carol will tell you, you don't graduate. You know, happiness is what you feel in this exact moment, right now, right this second, right now. Now, okay, and then the very next second, you can choose thoughts that don't serve you well and then immediately get into a different state, right?
Oh, yeah.
I believe happiness is what results once you choose thoughts that serve you well, because it's never about what happens around you. It's about your reaction to it. So somebody has a great year, they make millions of dollars, and they're just pissed off because they have to pay a lot in taxes. Mm-hmm. So even making money doesn't necessarily fix the problem, right?
No, I think it has to. Is that the primary message in your book is that happiness is an inside job? Is that...
Yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah, I mean, that we know. But I go through very specific steps on what to do to reclaim your happiness at any given moment, not if, but when you're triggered again. Because we all know what it feels like. We all know what dis-ease, or if you say that quickly, disease, feels like. Right?
Yep.
We all know what it's like to be triggered. So in that moment, I now have the presence of mind through the aid of meditation, because that helps me respond rather than react. That's a big component of what I do. But I also go through specific steps to stop and take control of how I'm thinking at any given moment.
So can you give us, without giving too much away, would you give us a little sneak peek? And I'll tell you why. Before you joined us today, I was complaining to Beat the Band Because I'm having...
That is the first segment of every show.
I know.
But it's usually the most entertaining. Continue.
Because I was having a full-blown fight with Siri. Yes, you heard me correctly. Siri, who happens to be an Australian male voice on my phone. Anyway, yes. So give us one little snippet. What's one little thing that we're going to learn from your book?
Well, okay. Happiness, we said, is a choice, right? Mm-hmm. You understand that no one has ever done anything to you, nor will anyone ever do anything to you. Happiness is about your reaction to it. So the first thing I tell people to do is stop. The second you feel disease, you feel thoughts that don't serve you well, you've got to stop. The second step is to recognize that you are in full control of how you're going to feel. So I stop and I say, okay, do I want to feel this way? And if I don't, then I change my thoughts. I have to understand that my thoughts are not who I am, nor is my brain who I am. See, we give too much power to our brain.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I spent a lot of time in the book talking about how the brain serves you so wonderfully in that it helps, you know, flow blood through your body. It helps fill your lungs with air. Your brain's doing all those wonderful things. But it's also been bullying you since you were little. So one of the exercises I have people do is actually name their brain. So when I have thoughts that do not serve me well, I stop and I say, hey, Biff.
I love that name.
That's my name.
And
feel
Biff
free
is
to
like
use
a
it.
Bully name.
It is. My brain's been bullying me like Marty McFly, you know, since awesome. I was little. And I just say, stop it. Biff, I know what you're doing. The amount of thoughts that we have, the average person has 12 to 70,000 thoughts a day. Lawyers have about double that because we learned to bill for our time. And 80% of those thoughts are thoughts that do not serve us well. 90% of the thoughts we have today are the thoughts we're going to have tomorrow that we had yesterday. So we're in a constant cycle of repeating thoughts to ourselves like, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not rich enough. So I stop, and the thing that I really do have control over is I say, Biff, I know what you're doing. You've been doing it to me since I was little. For 51 years, you've been sending me thoughts, some that serve me well, most don't. So just stop. Send me something that serves me well. And then I immediately try to reframe whatever it is I'm perceiving at that moment. And I focus on gratitude, like we talked about earlier, having an attitude of gratitude. I will literally get out a piece of paper and start writing down everything for which I'm grateful. I have a lot of tools in the book that if you use a fraction of them, could change your thought process at any given moment.
You know, Mark, I want to add to what you're saying. And you're saying happiness is an inside job, and I completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are accustomed and programmed to mm-hmm. want to change our circumstances around us and feel like we're in control of ourselves and we're in control
right.
of our life. And we're actually more in control of ourselves than we are in control of our life and the things that go on around us.
Correct.
But hoping for or wanting a happier life, we all view it from, God, when this thing finally changes around me or this finally
sure.
happens
yeah.
around me, I'll finally be happy. And to mm-hmm. let go of hoping for and expecting your circumstances around you to always be perfect and in alignment with exactly what you want, because that's you know, that's never going to happen. We're always going to deal with things we perceive as unfair, but again, as you mentioned, we first started speaking, they're growth opportunities. But what we
right.
can hope for and pray for and program ourselves for, and using people like you and your book, is to empower for more perfect responses to them.
Yes, that's it. It's your reaction to. Aristotle said, take charge of your thoughts. You can do what you will with them.
So that's where your energy
yeah.
and your focus goes into, okay, how can I respond here? How can I look at it? That's where your focus, not how can I change this thing that's already happened.
That's it, Carol. But that doesn't mean you don't try to work harder and get the promotion at work or try to attract the man in your life or the gal in your life that you think is going to bring you happiness or to sell as many books so you can change as many lives as possible. We try to do that, but expectations are future resentments. So keep your expectations low. You know, I told my wife about 10 years ago, this was halfway into our marriage. So, you know, 10 years into our 20-year marriage, I said, I had just finished meditating at the Chopra Center in Carlsbad, California, the sweet spot of the universe. I called her and said, honey, are you sitting down? She goes, why? What, you're scaring me. I go, I have something to tell you. What?
It usually does not end well.
No. I said, honey, I have never loved you. She goes, there better be more. I said, it occurred to me that there have always been conditions on my love for you. If you did this, then this. If you only acted in the way that I expected, she completes me. If you complete me, that's all crap. That's the Maguire myth. You are complete by yourself. I'm complete by ourselves. Together we have this third energy. I will no longer ever expect anything from you. And from that day on, she said it was the greatest gift I ever gave her.
Wow.
No more demands, no more expectations, no more nothing. She could be cooking a meal until she puts it down in front of me. I don't believe I'm getting it. And when I do, I am so filled with love and gratitude for that wonderful act of kindness that I'm oozing. So I say everything is your reaction to it. Lower your expectations. Enjoy what you have right now. You know, they call it the present. It's a gift.
And you know what, Mark, I have to tell you, and this is slightly off the subject, but speaking of gift, you did give one to Carol just now, and Jonna hates you. Because we always will have a guest where Jonna, you know, will be talking to the guest and things will be going very well back and forth. But Carol will chime in with something and then that guest will go, Eureka!
Yes.
And oh, then, Carol, then, you're so smart. You're so much smarter than your co-host.
You get the eyeballs.
Am I starting something? This is a challenge for Jonna right now. Stop, Jonna. Tell Biff. You're smarter than Carol. She's nothing without you. You know, whatever you want to tell your brain to make you feel better, you know?
That's funny. Biff, we need a different name for you.
Yeah, we do. So this is so funny. So I am going to say one thing smart, even though it actually is going to make me sound
one
stupid.
One thing smart.
Because you're talking about, Mark, you're talking about, like, kind of changing your thoughts when a bad thought creeps in. And
wait, stop. There's no I don't believe in good, bad, right, or wrong thoughts. So bad is labeling it. That's a judgment. So even a thought that says, you know, drink a gallon of vodka, I'm not going to say it's a bad thing if the alternative was putting a gun to your head and pulling the trigger. So I try not to label things good, bad, right, or wrong. It just is. I'm in the business of isness these days.
Oh,
that's
wow.
how I try
that's
to
great.
Look at things.
All right. Well, then Carol said that. So
okay.
I'll just go along with it. All right. So here's what I do, and I used to think that it was really stupid, but it actually works, and it's so simple.
Okay.
So let's say you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. Let's say something at the office related to what we do as our primary job, lawyering, happens that really gets under my skin, right?
Every day, right?
Every day.
Sure.
I have a picture on my desk of my two little Maltipoos, and I don't care what it is that's going on. If something's really aggravating me, I can look at that picture.
I love it.
And just laugh for 30 seconds and then and then come back to whatever with a little bit of a different perspective, and I do it regularly.
So you know what just happened? I love it. And that's part of what I talk about in the book. I have these exercises, things that you can do. We think that we have many thoughts in our head at any given moment. People say, oh, it's multitasking. No. That's just doing numerous things poorly all at once. We only have one thought in our head at any given moment. Let me prove that to you. Everybody count down from 10 to 1 backwards. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do it with me. 10, 9, 8. All right, stop. You all did that well. You're focusing on one thought at a time. Very easy. Now, I want you to count down 10 to 1 backwards. Don't take any pauses. And also spell Jonna at the same time, which is J-O-N-N-A. Okay, ready? Go.
Nope. Can't do it.
Yeah, you can't do it. So here's the secret. Once I realized we only have one thought at any given moment, which is quickly replaced by another thought, my goal is to occupy my mind, as Jonna did, with wonderful thoughts about, like, her dog, how wonderful, and keep occupying my head with thoughts that serve me well. Thus, happiness results because I'm constantly replacing my thoughts with thoughts that serve me well. And when my brain sends me thoughts that don't, those bad thoughts, I immediately say, how quickly do I want to feel happier and get back to thoughts that serve me well?
And I want to point out here, and I have not yet read your book, I will, and I don't know if you cover this, but the human brain has this remarkable ability called neuroplasticity, where your thoughts.
Oh,
actually,
yes.
Your thoughts actually travel.
Oh, sorry, like, I mean mediocre comments. Go ahead, Carol. Everybody knows that. Jonna was going to bring it up, but it was so obvious.
Thank you.
That's hilarious.
You just made her day.
Oh, that's so funny. What an awesome response. So your thoughts follow energetic patterns through your brain. So if you just see yourself as a chronically negative person, I'm a negative Nelly, always have been, and that may be true up until this point, the human brain has this remarkable ability to create new pathways that in the beginning, what you are talking about, Mark, may be work. It may require more conscious effort. But then over time, you're like traveling that path. I'm traveling the happy path, the positive path, the what good can come from this path. And then the other ones will shrink up and these will become your new normal. Will it require a presence and awareness? Yes, always. As you say, it's always a continuing thing, but it won't be as much work. It's like when you first learn to drive, but then it becomes second nature.
Right. Like anything, takes practice. Yep. My meditation practice sucked at first. It's still challenging at times, right? You sit there and there's thought, and you're going, really? What is this about? You know, what's the hype? But I do want to address the skeptics, because I was one of those persons. As a lawyer, I'm skeptical by nature. People saying, well, so what? What does it matter if I'm happy? I just want to be productive. I just want to make more money. If I make more money, then I'll be happy. To that, and in my keynote addresses, I quote this Harvard study that came out not too long ago, proves that happy people, happy business people, happy employees produce 37% greater sales, are 31% more productive, suffer 23% fewer fatigue symptoms, and are 300% more creative. So personally and professionally, it makes logical sense to be devoted to trying to improve your happiness levels immediately.
I have quoted the same. It's Sean Aker, isn't it?
It sure is. Love that guy.
Yep. Brilliant.
Yes.
All right, Mark. Well, I don't want to, but we have to wrap.
Gotta let you go.
We have to wrap up.
But I have to stop because Carol keeps asking dumb questions.
Godforsaken questions. But the good news is your book is out just in time for the holidays, which is great.
Oh,
and people can find your book and you by going to BeHappyByChoice.com, yes?
Yes, BeHappyByChoice.com. You can send me an email. You can get the book from there. It'll take you right to Amazon. And I love to interact. I love to speak with people. I'm dedicated. This is all an act of service. I'm losing money on this book thing. It's all about service. I'm trying to help people. That's all I want to do.
That is
we
great.
We have very few minutes left on this earth. And I want to just, every time I'm in service, every time I'm speaking about happiness, those are thoughts that serve me well. And selfishly, I'm happy.
I love
that
it.
That is awesome.
And no joke, what a great, if you're struggling for a gift for somebody for Christmas and you're not sure what to get, I mean, what a great thing to do is to buy somebody a book to start their new year off with a new way of thinking.
Right.
I think it'd be great.
A new happy way. You have
to. And really, selfishly, just so you know, I'm telling you, this was 200 and something pages. I got another editor and we whittled it down. It's 109 pages. You can read it in a couple of hours because I have tons of books by my bed that I never read. This you can bang out. There's funny hell. I mean, the stories are funny as heck. They're moving. They're engaging. People love the book. I'm not trying to plug it for any. I just want you to get something from it. I want you to actually read it, and that's why I made it short.
I can feel your passion and your sincerity.
You might not be plugging it, but I want to plug it. Be happy by choice.com. And are you ever going to do an audio version? Do you have an audio version?
It's so funny. My teenager said, Dad, we need to do this. Can I read it? You know, he wants to go to film school. I said, yeah, about that part of us losing a child, that's going to sound real good coming from your lips, you know? At some point I need to find the time to get into a studio and do it. But I'm swamped. I'm busy defending bank robbers and helping people be happy, you know?
Right. Not necessarily in that order. I totally get it.
How many times am I going to tell you?
Not to play with the dirty money. All right. Mark, this has been a pleasure. I hope to see you again on TV, spar with you. Definitely going to get this book for a few people in my life, and I really appreciate it. You and yours a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday Season, and an amazingly awesome 2020. Thank you for being our guest. BeHappyByChoice.com. Mark Eyeglash.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm very grateful.
Yes, Mark, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care, guys. Happy holidays.
This is Happy Hour with John Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we've still got more, so stick with us. We'll be back with our third segment of the morning.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Donna and Carol.
This is Happy Hour here on K104 on another Sunday morning. Hope you are enjoying joining us with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Well, Mark Iglarsh was certainly eye-opening, at least when it comes
some
to...
some energy and he's got great energy.
Yeah, boy, does he?
I'm tired from that.
I just can't say his name 10 times fast.
Iglarsh.
It's always Mike Iglarsh. I can't do it.
And he's your friend.
I know.
It's like the actor in the Liberty Mutual commercials.
Oh, Liberty.
Yeah, Liberty Liberty.
It's
Liberty
pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Line.
All right, we're going to dump this.
That's so funny. But I just want to have one more topic regarding happiness. It's kind of the theme of the show. Except for the first segment, that I came across that one of our other previous guests posted about today, and I just find this lovely. There is a school in Ireland who every December replaces the need for children to go home and do homework. Like, no homework for the month of December. Instead, for the entire month of December, the kids have to go home and replace their homework with acts of kindness.
I love it.
Okay.
What a wonderful, lesson.
You can learn so much more from that about life than memorizing something and doing a problem or
learn empathy and compassion. Something that there's not a lot of these days.
Wow. And who posted that?
And Heather Hansen posted it. And if you want to read the article, it's in the Irish Post. And if you just Google, it's written by a woman named Rachel O'Connor. And you just Google, there's a school that's replacing homework for the month of December with acts of kindness. And apparently it just has a really great effect. And December's a good month to do that. The holidays and Christmas and all that stuff. So I thought that was great. Now, juxtapose that next to an article someone else sent me, which makes me equally happy. And it might you too. Okay. Are you ready?
We're ready.
I'm waiting.
Wine as a bedtime snack will help you lose weight. Happy.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've got kids in Ireland doing acts of kindness for an entire month, and you're drinking a glass of wine for a nighttime snack. Good for you.
I need to put a tap on my bedside.
It says if you get hungry before bed, like part of the problem, people who gain weight, is you get hungry and it's late at night and you're supposed to be going to bed. If instead of putting food in your mouth, you instead have a glass of wine, it will assist with your weight loss goals.
And who said that?
The person who wrote the 4-Hour Body, an Uncommon
Tim
Guide
Ferriss?
To Rapid Weight Loss. No, I don't think he wrote it.
4-Hour Body?
Oh, Tim Ferriss did write it. Yeah, which would make sense since he wrote the 4-Hour Everything Else.
Right, 4-Hour Work Week. Got to get him on the show. He's brilliant.
He is really brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
Although that 4-Hour Work Week doesn't work for everybody's profession. I read that years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, probably the last vacation I ever took. And it won't work for everybody, but he is brilliant, and he's also an excellent speaker. So,
He owns stock in a wine company?
He must. But you know what? Maybe he owns stock because it works. I will try it.
And I'll report back.
Right. Drunk in the morning.
Yeah. I'm going to guess, though, that a Busch Light Pounder does not work the same as a glass of, say, red wine.
I'm going to guess not.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just curious.
All right. So what do you got, Jeremy?
Well, you know, when Carol mentioned earlier that Mark Iglarsh, I'm only saying it once.
Mark Iglarsh.
that his book might be a nice gift for Christmas.
Yes.
It made me think of the fact that I came across an article here from the Prep Service. Are you going to give a take a hint Christmas gift? So, you know, you could look at that book and say, all right, listen, you jaded, you jaded bastard, you. Here, have this book. It might improve your outlook.
Mm-hmm.
It might actually make you happy. But have you ever given a take a hint gift?
I have not, but I've received them.
I have as well.
You have? Like, name one.
We're going to have to talk about it on air because I talked about it on air one time before and got...
What'd you get yelled at?
A little flack for it.
From the person who gave you the gift?
No.
Who gave you flack?
Nope.
Can of worms, Spielberg.
Going to have to talk about it off air.
Was it management?
We're that face come from? Was it management?
Was it management?
No. That's all right. No, you got it. Look, I think it's all about intention. Everything, if you really genuinely care for somebody and there's no passive aggressive message behind it and you genuinely.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to know who you're giving it to. So to give somebody a book about happiness who maybe has reached out to you and has said, I want to feel better. I want to be, you know, I think it's perfectly appropriate. So if you want to pick up Happy Bitch or Hello Beautiful.
There you go.
That's a great stock
that's a
and
good
stuffer.
Point.
Plug time, plug
just
time.
Just saying, so, yeah.
So what you're saying is you can't give a piece of exercise equipment to somebody who might think that that's a hint that they're overweight?
Right.
Correct,
right,
but if they
like, Peloton like, commercial?
Like, yeah, right, like,
but
exactly.
If they
that's,
said,
that's actually what the story
I would love the Peloton
with.
Or I would love, and they've expressed interest, then it's a perfect gift. But somebody who has not mentioned their desire to get in better shape and... yeah, it could be a can of worms.
Yeah, giving them a gym membership, yeah, that could go over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, then they're going to be calling John's office, 485-2-LAW.
Right. And that Peloton commercial, she does not look happy in that commercial.
She looks much happier in the gin commercial, which follows the Peloton
Ryan Reynolds.
Though I did get the strangest, I don't even know if it was a take a hint gift, it may have been, but when I was with my ex, with Maria. Now, her mother is a little off-the-boat Italian woman, and, you know, so she got me a Christmas gift one year. Now, the house that we had, that we shared, Maria and I and her son, hardwood floors.
Yes.
All hardwood floors.
Yes.
The occasional rug.
Right. Throw rug.
Her mother got me a vacuum. Now, I don't know.
I vacuum my hardwood floors.
But so do I.
I don't know if that was a hint.
But that's still a weird gift.
Yes, that says, Steve, you need to clean more or you need to vacuum more a house with hardwood floors. Or, I don't know, maybe she had an extra vacuum hanging around or she re-gifted. I have no idea. But I'm not quite sure if that was a take a hint gift. It's certainly possible.
It's not. It doesn't scream, this is personal and, you know. I
hate you, possible
you,
future son-in-law.
I want to give you exactly what you want. Here's an appliance that'll help you clean more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't do that. Okay, one last plug before we go.
Okay.
Because it took me like a whole day, but I finally uploaded... this is no segue if she's listening. Kim Hart, who is a wonderful videographer, did a series of videos with me for my divorceboss.tv website,
yeah,
which I believe are now up on my divorceboss.tv website. And I know for a fact they are up on my YouTube channel, my Divorce Boss YouTube channel, because I uploaded them to that myself.
Awesome. Yeah. So give it again, the address where people can get them.
Divorce Boss. Can I not talk today?
Arglarsh.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Divorceboss.tv is my website where we're going to put even more content up, but we finally got that content going. And listen, I'm not promoting divorce. This is for people who are in the beginning, middle, or end stages of divorce who just want some tips. And I do it my way. I swear. They're quick. It's no nonsense. It's no
like
crap.
Like, help you get through it better, more productively, yes. Less stress.
Yes. It's not even about legal advice. It's just about getting through the process. So you can visit the website where you can also check out my course, or you can just go to the YouTube channel, Divorce Boss with Jonna Spilbore on YouTube, and you can check them out at your leisure.
I'll definitely check it out. Thanks. And Kim Hart is awesome. Solaris Productions.
Solaris Productions.
Yes.
She is very good.
She is fantastic. And one more time on our guest today, Mark.
Aha!
I called him Mike. See? That's all your
fault.
What happens
when you say it fast? Mark,
I think we each need to pick a syllable. You get the first name.
Okay.
Start. Go ahead.
I get the M. You get the R.
You get Mark. I'll get Ig.
All right. What's his name?
Mark.
Ig. Glarsh.
Okay, there we go. All right. And the website
is BeHappyByChoice.com. Pick up the book.
All
it's
right.
Going to be a great read.
And thanks again to him for joining us today. You've got Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci, myself. Thank you very much. Another Sunday morning, another good show. If you've missed it, just make sure later on this week you go to K104Online.com/happy hour and you can listen to the whole thing again or parts that you missed. We'll talk to you again next Sunday. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.